Well, we interrupt our regular program to go live right here in Tehran to the foreign ministry. Let's listen up to the spokeswoman, Marzieh Afram.
So I'm hopeful that everyone will be able to adapt and follow the manners of the Holy Household of the Prophet and try to apply them in our daily lives. Well, this week there's also the National Day of the Persian Gulf. There are special ceremonies in Hormozgan province. The Persian Gulf is an expanse of water, the historical one, that's always symbolized a friendship for the littoral states of the body of water, hopefully. The commemoration of this day as a National Day of the Persian Gulf would further cement and boost the bonds between regional states. I'm at your service. Please go ahead. Greetings. We've heard that there's sentences for seven death sentences in Egypt for Muslim Brotherhood. What's the foreign ministry's stance regarding this? Also, yesterday we heard about a meeting of a British official with an official in Iran. If you could say what objective that meeting followed. Now, as for the first question, the Islamic Republic of Iran closely watches and follows developments in Egypt. For the great achievement that is the popular revolution in Egypt, we have high respect for the revolution. So the safeguarding of the achievements of the Egyptian revolution is subject to the realization of people's demands and an attitude based on justice and creation of national unity among civil organizations and societies for preservation of the dignity of the great nation of Egypt. Now, issuance of such judicial verdicts that could have social and political implications will make the enemies of Egypt encouraged to fan up the stir the situation. So we think the issuing of such verdicts are contradictory to the principle of the historical and political principle based on compromise. Now, regarding your second question, with the start of the 11th government in Iran, we have been witnessing political shuttles and visits from various countries at various levels. When it comes to Europe, alongside the visits you see in parliamentary areas and also other officials, the general directors, political directors of various European countries also have consultations with their counterparts. So there was this political general director of the British Foreign Secretary that was made yesterday to Tehran. Within the same framework, at the same time, Tehran and London are taking the steps gradually to improve relations. So such consultations and visits, in addition to exchanging views on the step-by-step improvement relations, also focus on regional and international issues. So that's also an opportunity for those issues so that the political person in charge of political affairs of the British Foreign Secretary could have a meeting with our political officials. So Iran's stance regarding regional developments and also international developments, Iran's stance as well, that's what matters to many countries. So such consultations will help the current regional crises and international currents and moves. So hopefully we'll be able to see them move forward. So that's what the trip has been all about. Yes, go ahead. Greetings. Got two questions for you. Mr. Bashar Assad in the presidential election in Syria, he has just registered. What's Iran's stance regarding the timing of presidential election in Syria? And do you predict it will be held in due time? Second question relates to the fact that Reuters has announced that the head of the inspectors of IAEA has had a visit to Tehran recently. If you could tell us about the details of this visit and what topics they discussed, if you could explain a bit. Now, regarding the second question, there have been agreements made between the IAEA and the International Atomic Organization of Iran. The visit that you just mentioned was within the context of the same agreements, the consultations and exchanges of views between the Iran Atomic Organization and the IAEA are ongoing, and the visit of the IAEA officials have been within the same context. The expert-level meetings, technical talks that have been ongoing, they're just underway, and the consultations being made, they're within the agreements already made and being pursued by both sides. There are no details I can just tell you about, but this has been what the framework of the visit. Now, regarding the other question you asked, on Syria, the Islamic Republic of Iran has always announced that it is ready to extend help and try to help resolve the Syrian crisis. And we are prepared to see the war comes to an end to that country and would also offer any kind of help to that. And so all groups and factions, we've asked them to join in and then try to have a political solution to the crisis. So we think on this path and with the same perspective, the holding of the election in Syria plays an important role, and it's the timing, it's time for an election to be held so that there is this opportunity for peace to be established and security. At the same time, the holding of the election is part of the basic rights of the regional people, and definitely Syria is not an exception. And so do we believe that the international community also needs to respect this basic rights and the determination of the regional people, including those of the Syrian people. And the upcoming vote should be considered as a step toward putting an end to the crisis, the end to all fighting, and also contributing to spreading of peace and stability in Syria. Well, the Chinese government is actually receiving our most precious commodity, that is oil. They're receiving this, but in return, they're selling us back cheap and in low-quality material. I wanted to ask the government to take measures so that the same quality goods that China is selling to U.S. and Europe could be given to Iranians so that people would not be dissatisfied. Also, the British envoy was going to be making visits to Iran as non-resident envoy, but it's said that the former British ambassador has entered Iran. I want to see if this is the same non-resident ambassador or an ambassador. Now, regarding the second part of your question, because for this misunderstanding to remove, the EU should know that the former British ambassador in Tehran is now the political general director, not the foreign secretary. So in his capacity, in his current capacity, he has traveled to Tehran. Mr. Aybazadeh and Jay Sharma are the non-resident charge d'affaires that currently are taking steps in the gradual betterment of ties. So they have been carrying out their mission. So separate these and distinguish this from one another. Now, as for the other question, some of the points you made, maybe they're not that serious because China is a great country, a major trade partner of ours. We have had good political and economic relations between the two countries. And it can in all spheres where trade relations are ongoing, both in the government and non-government sector. There could be some differences of opinion and taste. Well, the promotion of trade ties and also quality is heeded by all countries that are importing their goods. So officials, Iran officials also are careful about this. At the same time, private sector, for their own orders and standardization and upgradation quality, they also need to play their own role to ensure quality. But what matters is that there have been fruitful and beneficial, as well as growing relations in the past few years, both economically and politically between the two countries. So this can be also pursued with this higher precision in the non-government sector. You're welcome. Well, given the fact that the committee that hosts the House Committee regarding the envoy we have introduced, they showed no reaction. What's your reaction? Do we still insist that he should be our representative, or you will have another alternative? There's also news regarding a number of Iranians in Malaysia have received death sentences, and looks like some efforts are being made. If you could tell us about those measures you've taken. Not regarding Malaysia, unfortunately, in the past few years, a number of Iranian nationals have not followed and obeyed the law in that country, and so they have been arrested. A number of them possess some narcotic drugs, and this is in violation of the internal laws of Malaysia. They have been arrested, and some verdicts have been issued. So the death sentences that had been issued, there are six of them. There are six women among those who have received the death sentences. Because of the good relations that we have with Malaysia, we are trying to stop these verdicts, and with help by signing an agreement on extradition of the culprits, we could see them here in Iran transferred. So because of internal regulations inside Malaysia, did not provide the for such an agreement, but on the other side, our embassy has done its own job, and Malaysian officials, they didn't never had any such agreements with other nations. So practically, it has not been possible to come to such an agreement. Well, with some corrections made and changes made in the course of the past year in the Malaysian laws and regulations, so it's now possible to have this draft agreement on extradition of those condemned in the courts there. So our embassy is also doing its job. The other side also needs, the Malaysian officials also need to say, to act according to their own laws. So we are following it up so that the Iran nationals have received the death sentences could be taken back to the country, and then the rest of their sentence they could serve here in Iran. But this is what we're trying to do. At the same time, we are asking all the Iranian nationals who travel outside of Iran, we ask them to have get the enough information, adequate information regarding the country they are going to. So our consular section is ready to offer information to our nationals and also offer consultations as to the details of the laws and regulations.